Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Samuel, the first Samuel, and we're in chapter 24, and there's 22 verses here. We have the letters, and also we have eighth in the series of dealing with the flesh. After this series, which will probably be over within a week or so, I'm going to be doing a series on dealing with the I, the me, the self. Okay, and that's going to take some time as well. But right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this tape. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for being present with us this day. Pour out your spirit, anoint this tape. And let everyone be alert, Lord. Open their hearts, their souls, their spirits, their ears, their minds, to receive whatever it is that you're going to anoint them with, your spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, this is, let's do the two letters first. Well, I'll tell you, we also got this report, where was that from, on the Korean, was that the Korean or the Arabic? We just got our Arabic Messiah book and also our Japanese Messiah book, and I think there might have been another one as well. But we're getting all languages, and we got a, was that a letter?
Yes.
A letter from somebody or an email from them. Okay, an email. Read that. It's real brief.
He says, I had forwarded some copies.
Wait a minute. He said, well, who is saying this?
Maurice.
Okay, we have a man that does the editing on or works with different language peoples of different languages to translate the Messiah book from English to all the different languages. And this is a report from him. Okay, do you want to read it?
I had forwarded some copies of the Arabic Messiah books to two of the people who worked with us on the translation, who are both Christians. One of these people is presently giving them out in the Middle East. The other one is giving them out to Arabic speakers that he knows here in the USA. Among them is his brother, who is the pastor of an Arabic Christian church in San Mateo, California. His brother, the pastor, is now requesting 20 Arabic and 20 English Messiah books. He also showed the Messiah book to a pastor of an Arabic church in Houston who was excited about this publication. Our friend is requesting 30 Arabic and 10 English Messiah books so he can give some to his pastor as well as other people.
Praise the Lord. That's really nice, you know, because we just, it just came off the press. And then to see responses like this, and it'll sweep into the Arabic countries, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let it happen in Jesus' name. Then what? Where's this first letter from?
From Volta Region, Ghana.
Okay, how many pages is that?
No, it's just a short paragraph.
Oh, okay. Go.
My dear pastor, I am very grateful to inform you that your items were received with great thanks. I received the items when I was on my sickbed, but by the grace of God, after reading your pamphlet, The Messiah, I became very well and strong, thanks to God the Almighty. I distributed the pamphlets to other followers of Christ, and they were pleased to receive them. Kindly send me two Bibles and Pastor Lamo's book, The Messiah, and any other important books written by Pastor Lamo. Yours in Christ, M.A., from Volta Region, Ghana.
And who's the next letter from?
From Solomon Islands.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this sinful world to redeem us from sin. Pastor, I take this time to thank God for what he does through you in this end time by distributing your newsletters. Pastor, for a long time I did not even understand who God is and what he can do for us when we believe in him. My friend, who is one of your members, gave me your newsletter one afternoon. As I read the letter, what a great thing happened to me. I now believe in Jesus and am interested to hear your voice. Please, can you help me by giving me a Bible and your newsletters? I am a poor man who has no money to buy things, so please send me a Bible and all your newsletters to me. I will now become your member. Yours faithfully, J.N. from Solomon Islands.
Praise the Lord. That's really nice. And hopefully he'll be a servant of the Lord and a distributor of the literature. All right, now let's get into 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1 of 22.
David sparing King Saul's life, King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Verse 2. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. Verse 3. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. Verse 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Verse 6. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Verse 8. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Verse 9. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Verse 10. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen, how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Verse 11. Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. Verse 12. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. Translation, verse 1 through 12. David sparing King Saul's life. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. Verse 2. So Saul chose 3,000 special troops from throughout Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. Verse 3. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding in that very cave. Exclamation mark. Verse 4, quote, Now is your opportunity, exclamation mark, unquote, David's men whispered to him. Quote, Today is the day the Lord was talking about, when he said, I will certainly put Saul into your power to do with as you wish, unquote. Then David crept forward and cut off a piece of Saul's robe. Verse 5, But then David's conscience began bothering him, because he had cut Saul's robe. Verse 6, quote, The Lord knows I shouldn't have done it, he said to his men. It is a serious thing to attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. Unquote. Verse 7. So David sharply rebuked his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, verse 8, David came out and shouted after him, quote, My Lord the King! Exclamation mark. Unquote. And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Verse 9. Then he shouted to Saul, quote, Why do you listen to the people who say I am trying to harm you? Verse 10. This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave, and some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm him. He is the Lord's anointed one. Unquote. Verse 11. Quote, Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of your robe! Exclamation mark. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I'm not trying to harm you, and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. Verse 12. The Lord will decide between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. King James Version.
He never said, Lord God is going to destroy you for trying to do something to me, like you hear so many Christians say. A true Christian says, you know, I'm praying for you that you'll stop doing what you're doing and that you'll get saved. And then we know that if they don't stop, well, the Lord will heap coals of fire on their heads. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 13. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. Verse 14. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea. Verse 15. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. Verse 16. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 17. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Verse 18. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, forasmuch as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killedest me not.
So he knew it was the Lord that delivered him unto the hand of David, right into his hands. So praise the Lord. Then what?
Verse 19. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore, the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. Verse 20. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Verse 21. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. Verse 22. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up unto the hold.
Okay.
Translation, verse 13 through 22. As the old proverb says, quote, From evil people come evil deeds, unquote. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Verse 14. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? To spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a flea. Verse 15. May the Lord judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate and he will rescue me from your power! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 16. Saul called back, quote, Is that really you, my son David? Unquote. Then he began to cry. Verse 17. And he said to David, quote, You are a better man than I, for you have repaid me good for evil. Verse 18. Yes, you have been wonderfully kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Verse 19. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had been in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. Verse 20. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and Israel will flourish under your rule. Verse 21. Now swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 22. So David promised, and Saul went home. But David and his men went back to their stronghold.
All right, that was the 22nd verse of chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, and now I have some commentary.
24 verse 2. If you go to this area, you'll find that today there are many wild mountain goats in this region as there was then. 24 verse 4. Cut off the corner of Saul's robe, this outer garment which he had more than likely laid down. 24 verse 6.
When you mention that these wild goats there to this very day, in the book of Jonah, it talks about this hill that Jonah was sitting on, and I've done a lot of research on that, and it states that there's a hill right there in Nineveh, which is in Iraq, that they call the Hill of Jonah, and it's the actual hill that he sat on and was wanting to watch Nineveh be destroyed. Isn't that something? To this very day, they call it the Hill of Jonah. Praise the Lord. So the Bible, you know, no matter, just everywhere you look, it's true. And especially with the end time prophecies today, everything about the regarding the Bible is 100% true. Then what?
24 verse 6, quote, the Lord's anointed, unquote, does not imply that Saul still enjoyed the Lord's anointing. Rather, it shows that David had an unfailing reverence for the anointed king of the Lord.
Yeah, well, anything regarding the Lord, I mean, David was very careful not to rise up against God in any way. He slipped that one time, and that was it. Then what else?
24 verse 14, quote, a dead dog or a flea, unquote. Saul was pursuing David with his choice 3,000 warriors as an army five times the size of David's men. 24 verse 20, quote, I know indeed that you shall surely be king, unquote. The real source of Saul's insane jealousy is that he knows he had been rejected by God. People always try to give people of the Lord counsel, but in chapter 24, verses 4 through 16, David refused to follow the counsel of his young men and kill Saul. Even the act of cutting off a piece of Saul's robe troubled the young man's conscience. Despite all that had happened, David still respected the king and his position as God's anointed one. Despite the temptation to hurt Saul and Saul's obvious vulnerability, David wisely restrained himself. David's intelligent response suggests two principles vital to the recovery process of becoming mature in faith. One, we need to assess the advice we get from others, from the people that are around us, even those that work for us or are part of the ministry, even from our close friends. And two, we must be tuned in to the Holy Spirit that God desires for a particular situation, not just what might be an easy way out.
All right, now, that was 1 Samuel chapter 24, with this 22 verses, and now this is 8 in the series of dealing with our flesh. Okay, go ahead.
Walking according to the law of the Spirit of life. If we apply dealing with the flesh to all our actions, in other words, if we apply the Holy Spirit to every moment of our daily lives, if we apply dealing with the flesh to all our actions, if we apply the Holy Spirit to every phase of our lives, throughout every day to the end, we will eventually walk after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The 8th chapter of Romans shows us that the overcoming of the flesh is the result of obeying the Holy Spirit, or giving ourselves over to the control of the Holy Spirit. The moving of the Holy Spirit within us is a law of the Spirit. I repeat that the moving of the Holy Spirit within us is a law, and it's the law of the Spirit of life. In other words, when we are in fellowship and apply, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the death of the cross to every part of our living, that is, throughout all the day, this application is what is called the obeying of the law of the Holy Spirit in us.
Yeah, I just said it. But we are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship means the Holy Spirit. We're talking to the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is fellowshipping back with us. It's not just a one-sided conversation. You're never going to have, if you're really in the Spirit, going to have a one-sided conversation with the Lord. Because if you're talking to Him, He will eventually, He always talks back to me and fellowships back with me. And when you begin realizing how to give yourself completely to the Lord in every aspect of daily living, then that's called fellowshipping. And so read that sentence again, because I didn't put that in there.
In other words, when we are in fellowship and apply...
When we are in fellowship with the Lord, okay, it's the Spirit, then what? And apply, then what?
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
We apply our daily dealings with humanity, with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, then what?
The death of the cross to...
And we're applying the death of the cross. So the only way we can do that is to apply the death of the cross in our spirits. Then what?
To every part of our living.
To every part of our daily living. Whether you're talking to a little baby, or if you're talking to a grown-up, or a business person, or just somebody that you meet on the street, or whether you're just... talking or fellowshipping or doing anything. If you're by yourself and you're in your house by yourself or in your room by yourself, then your thoughts are with the Lord. Okay, then what else? So you're applying the cross to that. I'm so lonesome, I need to have somebody. Or, in other words, as if you couldn't have the Lord. Amen? As though you're alone. Well, if you believe you're alone, then you are alone. Amen?
Amen.
Because whatever you believe is what you are, who you are. As a man thinketh or believeth, so is he. You're alone then. You don't have the Lord. Oh, that struck one of the chords of someone's heart and felt, all right? Well, that's the way it really is, though. Okay, then what?
That is, throughout all the day, this application is what is called the obeying of the law of the Holy Spirit in us, and also the allowing of the Holy Spirit to move spontaneously in us.
Yes, if you're in a room by yourself and Satan starts sending the message that you're by yourself, well, then you spontaneously say, no, the Lord and I are one. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is going to lead me into green pastures, amen?
Amen.
Beside still waters, the Lord is my shepherd, and He's always with me. And therefore, I don't want for anything. I shall not want anything because I have the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So people that have the that want something, they're not fellowshipping enough to ask for it, or... They just feel that they're alone. Old lonesome me, somebody wrote. Amen. And there's another one that wrote, and you'll never walk alone. Amen.
Amen.
Which one are you going to be or believe? Oh, lonesome me, or I'll never walk alone. What is it? Choose this day who you believe. I know I'll never be lonely again. No, never again. Amen? Because I'm not just one person. I'm united with the Lord, and I'm sitting with Him in heavenly places, and that's where you ought to be yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
In other words, to allow the Lord to work in us. Therefore, our dealing with the flesh and putting it to death through the Holy Spirit.
You know, all the fleshy thoughts, all the satanic thoughts, all the self thoughts, the I thoughts, the me thoughts, me, I, self-centered. I'm doing a whole series on dealing with the self after this dealing with the flesh. The self and the flesh are different, okay? Because the flesh has got Satan in it. We're actually dealing with Satan there. And then we have to deal with self. Okay? All right, then what?
Our dealing with the flesh and putting it to death through the Holy Spirit have a positive relationship with the spontaneous law of life, the spontaneous law of the Holy Spirit within us. A person who really experiences dealing with the flesh is a person who allows the Holy Spirit to move within him, and also the one who allows the law of the Spirit of life to operate in him. When we absolutely obey the law of the Spirit of life, we do not set our mind on the flesh, but on the Spirit. At all times, we put our mind to death and the deeds of the body, and leave no room for the flesh. Not only will we not sin or err according to the flesh, but we will not even touch spiritual things or serve God in the flesh.
No, yeah, we'll not touch spiritual things with our flesh. So many times people say, I'm doing the work of the Lord, and I'm real angry, and they start doing all kinds of fleshy things. They touch spiritual things with the flesh. And they just say, I'm doing it, I'm going through the motions and everything. Yeah, but it's your flesh that's doing it. Amen?
Amen.
It's a good point, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen? Don't throw fits, in other words. Amen?
Amen.
If you think that's of the Lord, well, I saw something like that in a movie, and I'll do the same thing that Greta Garbo did. Or Marilyn Monroe, or whoever. No, not if you're in the Spirit, you won't. Okay, then what else?
What I mean by we will not even touch spiritual things with our flesh or attempt to serve God in our flesh is only then will we have thoroughly dealt with our flesh in a practical way. Only then will we be completely released from the flesh, and we will be living in the Holy Spirit. If you absorb this, this will be plenty for you to meditate on for the rest of your life, really. But, of course, I'll be doing Series 9 on this. I will be summarizing everything that I put down so far.
And there'll be more than just summary. I did Part 9 already today, so it's ready for tomorrow. So, as I said, this is something to meditate on for the rest of your life, but certainly you'll be able to meditate it on until part 9, amen?
Amen.
Until chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. And so until then, this is your pastor, and hopefully if I was not your pastor, that you've selected me by now, saying praise the Lord and God bless you. Amen.